podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Intercepted by Kyle Fuller. Into the end zone. Pick six, Chicago.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
Yeah, baby. It's on.
Game on.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
To do the vibes.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Go right back to Mizell, and he's into the end zone.
Obsession.
Touchdown, Chicago.
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are,
perfection.
Hogan Johns.
And welcome in from Soldier Field, finally a post-game podcast for you guys. Episode 169 of the Hogan Johns podcast. We got a nice episode for you today.
I thought you were going to call it the Rob Gronkowski episode there for a second. I was kind of left speechless for a second.
I was leaving that one for you. I mean, you're ready to start the whole episode over.
Well, you're the guy who forgot the mic, so I'm sitting over here waiting for you to cue me up. And you caught me kind of unprepared there. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's the preseason for all of us, okay? I brought one mic and there's two people. It's a problem, but we'll get through it. All right, the Bears got through this one today, 27-20 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. I usually don't care at all about preseason scores or anything, and it still doesn't really matter all that much, but the Bears basically beat the Chiefs today with their backups, which seems a little bit notable. Let's talk more about this decision, though, because, you know, we get the word last night that Matt Nagy's making a pretty... I don't know, bold? I don't know if that's even the right way to put it. It's just unconventional decision to rest his starters in the third preseason game. This is the fourth one for the Bears, but it's really the third preseason game. That's how we're going to refer to it, which most teams don't do. Andy Reid did not do that today. And everyone's freaking out. A lot of people are upset. I like the move. What did you think?
Hey, you could definitely call it bold because it is unconventional. Not a lot of teams do this, even though you saw the Packers rest their starters last night. I think Derek Carr played, seven snaps, so he got rested by John Gruden. The Rams and Sean McVay are doing the same, so the younger coaches, I guess Gruden's not the young, but the more offensive-minded guys are with new quarterback, young situations are protecting their guys, and I guess I see both sides of the argument. Yes, Mitch Trubisky needs snaps. Yes, it's every time you go out on the football field, there's risks for injury. I think the second outweighs the first. We're talking about 25 snaps, 30 snaps, maybe 40 at most for Mitch Trubisky. People are obsessing over those plays. Some of those plays which have been run call. Some of those plays which feature plays that may not even be in the Bears' playbook come the regular season. So I think there was an overreaction on one side of this argument.
I should mention, you can follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, for our reaction from today's game. Also, our stories that are up. I don't know what you wrote yet, but I... basically defended Matt Nagy's decision. I couldn't do it as passionately as he did because, wow, he gave a good press conference after the game defending the whole thing. And also respecting everyone's questions, saying that they were fair questions, and then just countering with his reasoning and putting it all out there with, oh, my God, how would John Fox have responded to this?
That's my decision, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Do people forget, like, last year when John Fox trotted Mitch Trubisky back out for the game against the Browns and how much of a debacle that was, and then he had no answers afterward? But literally you had your first round pick and smacked around for no good reason. Wasn't that the same game where he handed the ball off like 10 times in a row? It was just absurd to begin with. I like Matt Nagy's approach. It's forward thinking. And look, I get the other side. Mitch Trubisky has not proven a thing. But you know what? Let him prove everything when games matter. If he would have gotten hurt in this game, like on the first snap, second snap, then everybody would have been after Matt Nagy in that respect. So if he's going to get hurt, and injuries are part of football, let it happen in a meaningful game, not a meaningless one against the Chiefs in the preseason.
We want to hear what you have to say about all this. We open up the voicemail line for the first time this season, 312-222-5050. Still time to chime in. You'll hear those voicemails. The best ones will make the podcast later on this week. And it'll be good to have the reaction also from today's game. But Yeah, look, there are a number of reasons why I agree with Matt Nagy on this one. Let's start with, okay, you mentioned the snap count. Matt Nagy also said that he estimated that 40% of the plays that you see in the preseason are even real reps. And what he's referring to that isn't the fact that, okay, yeah, it's live, but you're not running stuff that you're really going to run in a game. So what's 40% of the 25 plays, right? I mean, we're looking at less than 15, probably more like closer to 10 plays that would have been run in this game that would have been anywhere near close to something they'd really run week one against the Packers, okay? So, and by the way, I think as you sit here and listen to this, Mike McCarthy and Mike Pettine are sitting down trying to watch this Bears tape from today, trying to figure out what's going to be run week one. And good luck with that. Even if Mitch Trubisky had played, Matt Nagy would not have put his offense on the field. So is that really worth the risk of getting him hurt? There's no way, and Matt Nagy made this argument too. You'll hear from him in a second. These, at this point, the practice reps, while they might not be full go live, they're more valuable for week one because they're actually plays that will be run against the Packers than coming out here and running a bunch of dummy plays and risking the season getting blown up because Mitch Trubisky suffers what happened to Cam Meredith last year in Nashville.
I think people forget that Mitch Trubisky's also had an extra week of practice because of the early reporting date in Bourbon. He actually reported even before that, so he's actually had more work than an extra week of practice. He had two joint practices against the Broncos, where he once went against Von Miller, Brandon Marshall, a bunch of other starters on the Broncos defense, which has been a pretty good one over the past five years, I would say, right? I mean, they won a Super Bowl with it. Now, it is practice. It is a bit different, but let me tell you, those live reps in those practices are more alive than what we saw in Bourbonnais. The physicality was real. The competition was real. They did not want to lose to another team on their home practice field. And then people forget that he actually played a little bit in the preseason, that the Bears have had the extra preseason game because of the Hall of Fame game against the Ravens. So he's had a lot of snaps. What was the word? 2,000? He's had like 2,000 snaps. And I get that he hasn't proven anything. I get that argument that he needs every rep possible. I understand that. But at some point, if you're going to make fun of the preseason play and the effort level and the mistakes that are happening against it, then you should be able to understand where Matt Nagy is coming from. This could be a trend. Like, enough with the preseason. I'm one of those guys who make fun of it because it is kind of pointless. It is very vanilla. So I see where Matt Nagy is going with this, and I wonder if this will become a trend in a few years. Because let's face it, the play is awful. Key players get hurt. These players, obviously, you know, to them, there's a risk reward to it too. I get that you want to get up to speed, you want to feel right for the regular season. But if you have a Cam Meredith situation, I mean, it's awful. I mean, someone tweeted at me like, "Look, Mr. Trubisky's preseason ended with an interception and a bad route by Tariq Cohen." I'm like, "So what? Cam Meredith's preseason and regular season ended on a catch against the Tennessee Titans." I mean, you got to weigh both sides here. Again, I get the whole play him approach. The Patriots do it, even though they've always kind of pushed the envelope with their preseason play. I understand that, but eventually you have to side with caution in meaningless games here.
Yeah, and also, you know, I realize what the Patriots have done has been great, and they're on this incredible run. They don't win every year. Yes, they win a lot, but they don't win every year. There's years where they lose to teams that do it a different way. So it's not like the Patriot way is the only way.
They're also the outlier in this. They're a true dynasty. And look, they've had some fortunate luck. Why is Tom Brady playing, you know, into the third quarter of some of these preseason games? I could just read the columns in the Boston, or I could just see the columns in the Boston Globe and the Boston Herald ripping Belichick if Brady got hurt in one of these games. He's a guy who doesn't have to play, and Belichick continues to push the envelope. See, he is one key injury to Rob Gronkowski or Tom Brady away from being ridiculed, and he's had some good luck with that. And people were on my case yesterday for saying, you know, hey, look, the Packers, they don't care about the dress rehearsal either, you know. And, look, that's a team that needs reps. People don't believe it because they see Aaron Rodgers there. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers has a new offensive coordinator. I mean, Jim Philbin is back there again for the first time since 2011. They got a new defensive coordinator. They got a new GM. They got a new tight end for Aaron Rodgers. Jordy Nelson is no longer there. So they got a lot of moving pieces up in Green Bay, too. But they didn't see a need to risk further injury, you know, in their third preseason game.
Here's the other thing, too. How many times have we sat up here and we're looking over the Soldier Field right now? We're looking here. And we go, oh, man, there's three more injuries. Oh, man, this team just can't escape the injury bug. What is with this team? They have all these problems every year. They got to change something. They got to okay, well, guess what? They changed something. They brought in a new head coach, a new training staff, a new strength and conditioning staff, and Matt Nagy decided to do something different and rest his starters in a preseason game. And what is everyone's reaction? Why are they doing something different? It's so hypocritical. Matt Nagy knows his team better than anyone right now. He said that today, and he did a really good job. Should we just do that now? You got something else?
I got some more stuff to say. Like, it is fair to question. It is fair to criticize because these are the Bears. They have not won in a very long time. I get all of that. But when Patrick Mahomes is out there getting crushed by Jonathan Bullard in the third quarter, do you see that play where he's got his full weight on top of the guy, where Bullard actually helps him up and checks on him to see if he's okay? So I guarantee you that Patrick Mahomes, the franchise wannabe quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, was groaning as Jonathan Bullard's 300-pound frame was on top of him. And then he took later hits in the game. Look, I get that your young players need snaps. I get that they need experience. But you know what? That's going to come in time anyway. I mean, for all those people who are criticizing the Bears for pulling their starters in this one, they probably weren't going to pick the Bears in week one against the Packers anyway. I mean, the Packers are still going to be favored regardless, or whether or not their starters played in the preseason game anyway, their game last night. So I get it. I get both sides. I really do. I don't mind them trying to go into the regular season healthy, though. I mean, it's a good thought process to have.
All right, let's hear from Matt Nagy. This is this honestly, in 8 years of covering this team, might be the best post-game press conference I've ever heard. Whether you agree or disagree with the head coach on his decision, wow, is it a breath of fresh air to have him stand in front of a microphone and passionately defend himself with real answers and respecting everyone's fair questions on this? Because I think, as we both said, we understand the questioning. We understand why this is different and why people are struggling to adjust to it. But anyway, here is Matt Nagy's press conference after the game. It's a little bit longer than usual, but I think you're going to enjoy the whole thing, which is why we're playing it for you. So here he is, Matt Nagy.
All right. Well, I want to start off by letting our fans, our players, our coaches, everybody know how much fun it was to be out here today. I was really proud of our guys, our team, to come out and play hard. You know, I think they took what we did in practice this week and transferred it to the field. And when you have that as a coach and you see, you know, where you're at with in this game, depth-wise, where you're at with some of our players, that's special. And, you know, from start to finish, I thought they played well. We had some situational stuff that happened. And, you know, for the biggest thing is they executed. I didn't think it was sloppy. I thought our guys stayed away from penalties. And they were really, in all three phases, pretty detailed against a good Chiefs football team.
Matt, can you describe your decision to rest your starters?
Yeah, so the biggest thing right now, so with where we're at, it's been a great, 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 great training camp for us so far. And so I think for us, we have to understand that as coaches and players. We had the Hall of Fame game. And, the starters didn't play. I get that. But the starters have had a lot of reps in practice. And then we take that and we have another preseason game. And then we go ahead and we have two awesome practices against Denver that get physical. And so we've been going for a long time. And the players, one thing with our practices is, just kind of knowing where we're at practice schedule-wise and the amount of reps that we get in a practice, they're heavy. And there's a lot of times where our guys are flying around and giving everything they got. So for us as coaches going into this week, we just felt like, and I felt in particular, that hey, this is a position right here where let's talk about this and let's think here. If we have a great week of practice and it's fast and it's fluid and there's no mistakes, you know, then let's think strongly here about sitting some of the guys for this game. And really, health-wise, you know, for where they're at right now, forget all the risk-reward stuff. It's health-wise. Like, where are they? And we have some guys that are tired. So, inevitably, I want our guys to be ready to go 100% health-wise for that week one Packers game. And that's as simple as it gets. So they didn't know that, and they didn't find out until yesterday.
Did you pick up the phone and call Indy?
I did, yeah. I too much respect to not do that. And so I'm well aware. The last thing I wanted was for him to see that all of a sudden we show up out on the field and we got our twos out there. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. And I let him know. And just out of pure respect, he's the very first person that I called to tell. So I felt a lot better when I did that. And I just, you know, I know how he is, and he respected that and appreciated that.
How would you respond to the statement that Mitch needs as many game snaps as he can get?
I hear it, but I don't believe it right now in regards to with where we're at. We're at almost 2,000 snaps right now in practice. Right now, team snaps and OTAs till now, we're in 2,000 snaps. And so for somebody to tell me that 25 to 30 reps is going to go ahead and make him a better player week one, week two, week three, it's not going to happen. This offense does take time. It doesn't mean that for him he can't be successful, but 25 to 30 plays, regardless of just Mitch, in general, I think it's we've had a lot of reps, and we get quality reps in practice, and I think that's what's so neat. And it's just I understand. Let me make this clear. I understand how people can say that. I understand it. But for me, I need to do what's best for our team and for where we're at. Okay, and I understand that sometimes that can affect fans, but trust me, the thing I'm trying to do is do the best thing for our fans, and that's have our guys ready to go in week one.
How do you reconcile the first day of training camp? You come in and you say, I want to callous our team.
Yeah.
Make them tougher physically and mentally.
Yeah.
This does not seem to be consistent with that idea. Would you agree or disagree?
I would understand how you're coming from your side, but I think we've gotten calloused. I truly do. We've had live practices. We've had some grueling practices against Denver, some live reps in our past couple of preseason games. And so remember also, if you remember correctly, I told you we'll be calloused, but we'll be smart too, right? So when I said that, that's a part of that as well.
And next year you won't have an extra mini camp.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have maybe practices at Denver. Is this something then? Is this a one-time only thing?
It could be. Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I really do. This is not about trying to set anything to like. This is just about us where we're at right now. This is this year right now. We have five preseason games, and let me tell you something. I think I have no issue at all with five preseason games. I think, matter of fact, it's great because what we get to do is we get to check out our depth on our team against one. And like, for instance, today we got some twos in there that got to play against starters. That's invaluable. When you're in a preseason game, who are the twos playing against? The twos and the threes are playing against the twos and the threes. When you have a guy go down in the season and a two or three comes in, who do they play against? The ones. So that was great today for those guys to go out there and play. And so to answer your question, yeah, it could be different next year. If we have four games, then yeah. If I feel like the pulse of our team is in a different place as it is right now, I'll absolutely play those guys. And if I feel like they need more to be callous more or to be tougher, I'll do that. I have no problems at all doing that.
From a coaching perspective, aren't you always going to evaluate how a player performs against an opponent in a live game who doesn't know what he's doing, as opposed to maybe a practice situation that you're really weighing heavily in this case?
I would love to. I would love to do that. But for me right now, I want to be able to do that and evaluate that on week one versus Green Bay.
How much is not showing your cards too?
Yeah. Well, that's another point. I mean, anyone's crazy to say any coach in this league, offense or defense or special teams, is crazy to say that they're going to do what they're going to do in week one. That's the obvious. So I think that's the same thing. So the previous question that was just asked talked about getting live reps and certain things. Probably 40% maybe, I don't know the number, but there's somewhere around there where you might get some stuff that simulates it real under the lights. But there's a lot of stuff around the whole NFL during this time right now that you're not getting his reps at unless you're in practice.
In a perfect world, Mitch is going to start all 16 games, but how reassuring is it for you to see Chase perform like he did, knowing that you might need him?
Yeah, so proud of Chase. You guys can see where he's at. He's put in a lot of work over a lot of years, and that's one of the reasons why he's here. Not only what he does on the field, but what he's doing right now with 10 and with Tyler. Those guys have a hell of a room going on right now. And just when you're in a role that Chase is in, and everything goes to 10 all the time, to Mitchell, everyone's always, you know, at one, and then he gets an opportunity to throw a game-winning touchdown pass last week and then come in today and have a well-executed game, play efficient, not be sloppy. What he does is he helps some of those younger guys that came into this game. So when you have younger guys, the Whimsies, and some of these young guys that come in and play, and you have James Daniels playing center or being on the line, young, that's a lot of stuff going on at that position when you're trying to figure out what defense you're in. And Chase can just calm everything down. And so that's another reason why I kind of felt, hey, I feel good with where we're at offensively.
Man, Andy Reid's obviously the guy you've been closest with from a head coach perspective. He had his starters go for the first.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other coaches or teams you've seen this strategy that kind of came to mind that you wanted to do it?
No, this was just for me, more of just knowing the pulse of our team. I know where we're at. I know this team better than anybody right now, and I feel strong about that. And so I know our players. I have individual meetings with our players. I don't just sit here and try to guess where they're at. I talk to our guys. And that doesn't mean our guys didn't want to play. Our guys were ready to play. But I told them that I got 51%. So I get to make this decision, and this is what we're doing. And I think you saw they were out on the sideline supporting their guys, their teammates that were out there. And then you saw just kind of they were letting their personality show. And it's amazing when you get just some early first downs or some early stops, how that ball just starts rolling. And then guys start believing, and they start having fun and playing. And that's – I don't care who's out there. The other message that I made loud and clear to our team is we're going to win the game. And we're not. This isn't one where we sit our guys and then we try to get out of Dodge and try to go home. Not today. We're doing that.
Kevin White is a really competitive guy, but how far does his performance today go as far as validating his confidence and what he can offer?
Well, so for Kevin, he's put in so much work, and you guys have and ladies have known him longer than myself, and so you know his background, you know what he's been through. So anytime I root for underdogs, I love underdogs, and so when you have an underdog that fights his tail off to improve, and when people don't believe in him, and he proves the people that do believe him right, then there's nothing better than that. And so, yeah, it was one play. We got to evaluate the rest of his play. But I was really happy that he was able to get that touchdown at home in front of his home fans. And he worked hard for that.
Matt, from those 2,000-plus snaps, what gives you the most confidence that Mitch is regular season ready?
Well, I just know that from what I've seen over time, from where he's at, I'm comfortable with where he's at. You know, it's at a point where this thing is going to – and I'm talking offensively here. This is going to take a little bit of time. This isn't something that's just going to come out here and just start firing away. I've told you that from the start. This is a process now. That's okay. That's no excuse, but that's what's real. And so when you start looking at the snaps versus what he's done in OTAs and in training camp, and those aren't one-on-one snaps, and just these are all team snaps where he's against the defense. These are times for him. I feel right now with some of the connections he's getting with some of his guys and where he's at calling the play, recognizing the defense, seeing protections, being able to get the ball out. You saw the one against Denver where they had a little zero. They blitzed us four strong to the tight end, and he hit Trey on the slant route, and we were hot. And he's growing on that play. So that's a stepping stone, and that's kind of where I'm at with that.
How big of a statement?
I don't care. I'll go ahead. Go ahead. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good. Go ahead.
How big of a statement did Javon Wims make with his performance?
What's that?
How big of a statement did Javon Wims make with his performance?
Yeah, so Wimsy, he's in a good spot. He's a young kid that's he's trying to hammer down the details of this offense. He's got really natural hands. He's a nice sized kid. He has good confidence. We're trying to get him to a point to where he has just you know, really great confidence, really great hands, and really great route running. But he's doing well, and you guys see that. That's important for us right now. That's a depth position, and he's growing, and he's a hell of a route runner as well.
Back to not playing your starters. Was this a concept that when you were an assistant, you sat there and went, you know, if I'm ever a head coach, maybe I'll weigh doing this? And just tell me about the evolution and how you came to that point that maybe it's an option.
Yeah, the what I think is most important right now is that we've worked so hard as a staff, as players, we've put in so much valuable time that's not seen, and so we're just at a spot right now where it's just we're lucky to be where we're at. I love the growth of where we're at as a team and as a family, and you know I feel strong that when we go into week one, that we will, that basically those 25 to 30 plays, right, isn't going to, it's not going to sway one way or the other. It's really not. So if we win that game against Green Bay, trust me, it wasn't because we didn't play 25, and if we lose it, it's the same thing. I promise you that.
Matt, you obviously know your team better than anybody else, and you have the right to decide and choose to play whoever you want. But what do you say to people who came out thinking, this is the third preseason game in theory, the dress rehearsal game,
yeah,
paid money to see Mitch,
yeah,
and the starters?
Sure. First of all, I understand. I completely understand. But second, I'm doing what's best for them. And I'm doing what's best for them because I'm going to have us in the right spot for week one. So they may not feel it today, but hopefully they feel it week one, you know, hopefully. Or this year, right? We good?
Thank you.
All right, so there's Matt Nagy after the game today, and I think the fans got to like even how he ended it there, understanding that, hey, look, if you came out to Soldier Field today, you probably weren't very happy that when you didn't see Mitch Trubisky out there, but he really has the fans in mind long-term with this decision. He's looking ahead to the regular season. He wants you to be happy when they win regular season games, not beating the Chiefs today 27-20 in a score that doesn't matter. I also loved, you probably can't, you had to be in the room to understand what happened, but towards the end there, you heard him say, I'm good, go ahead with your questions, I don't care. He was talking to one of the members of the Bears PR staff, which yelled out one more question, which is normal. And actually, at that point in the press conference, not surprising that, you know, it's just a kind of a signal to wrap it up. But Nagy, to his credit, said, no, I'll keep answering your questions. I'm good here. The confidence he just expressed over and over again, taking hard questions like, hey, and this was a good question from David Haw in the Tribune. You know, you said at the start of camp that you wanted to callus up your team. Doesn't not playing your starters, that kind of contradicts that idea, does it? And he came right back with, well, you might remember I said, yeah, we want to callus our players, but we're going to be smart about it.
Yeah, right. One of those two touche moments, and he has sided with the smart, better, safer than sorry approach, and that struck me. You know, I only caught the second half of the press conference because I was in the Bears locker room interviewing players about this very thing, that he's very aware of the possible criticism with his decision. John Fox would have given you one of those, I don't give a rip, like answers. Remember when he gave that to me after the Eagles game? He seems to understand things beyond his own little football coach's world, and I think that's a good positive sign for a football coach in this town, especially after the last two, because Mark Trestman didn't really give a hoot or rip much outside you know, what was happening at Hallis Hall, and John Fox definitely didn't, and Matt Nagy seems to be very aware of his messaging and very aware of his own self-importance to this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been very clear, but you know, it was impressive. Again, even if you disagree with the decision, the way he defended it after the game, I just, if you're a fan, you gotta, I would feel good about the hands that the team is in right now. Look, it's early. We have not seen them play a regular season game. They may lose 40-0 in Green Bay. I doubt that right now. I don't think they're going to get blown out. They may lose the game, but I think they're going to be pretty competitive. And once again, as Nagy said over and over again, if they beat the Packers week one, it's not because these guys didn't play today. And if they lose, it's not because they didn't play today. The best thing they can do is to show up to Green Bay with the healthiest team possible, the most talent on the field possible. Losing Adam Shaheen last week was a blow. Leonard Floyd hurting his hand last week was a blow. That hurts your chances of beating the Packers week one. You have to be well prepared from a game planning standpoint, which I'm sure Nagy's going to be all over. And now you got 2 weeks to prepare starting right now. And you got to be as healthy as possible. That's what he's trying to do.
You know, I always thought if Cam Meredith was healthy going into last season, that you may have actually had the year of Mike Lennon. They were really good together in the preseason and in training camp. If he had one connection with anybody, I'm talking to Mike Lennon and his receivers, it was with Cam Meredith. They were really good together. And then he gets hurt, and things completely change. The year Mitch Trubisky came on a lot faster because Mike Glennon could not connect with anybody else. It really didn't. And then he just faltered mentally, and things broke down for his year. That type of injury, I mean, can really devastate your plans in so many ways, and they eliminated that. And beyond that, you know, you're talking about Nagy and feel-good vibes. They're backups. Their backup defense, yeah, they kind of stopped Patrick Mahomes. They kind of held him to 10 points. And their backup quarterback, he kind of took it to the Chiefs' starting defense. And I know they didn't have everybody out there, and at one point the twos came out there for the Chiefs. But the Bears' backups outplayed the Chiefs' starters today here at Soldier Field.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and ignore the idea that Cam Meredith cost Mike Lennon the year of Mike Lennon. But beyond that, let's talk about some of the things that did happen out on the field today, because there were some positive developments. Kevin White, I mean, who knows what it means. It was just, you got to feel good for Kevin White to get in the end zone, finally. He's never experienced being in the end zone. And that was a good route. He ran against a real NFL player, in Orlando Scandrick. Double move. Faked the hell out of him. Wide open. Chase Daniel actually underthrew the ball a little bit. Kevin White adjusted, made the play, walked into the end zone. Good moment for him. Javon Wims. Every year we have guys that flash in the first preseason game, then they kind of disappear. You never know what to believe. I thought it was important that today he wasn't always going up against Chiefs starters. Actually, a lot of his success came against once the backups were in there, but it was still against twos, not threes. Bottom line, he continued his strong play in the preseason. He looks like a real player. I don't, you know, I'm not saying like superstar by any means, but a guy who should make the team. Two wide receivers, all of a sudden, the Bears' wide receiver depth, and you saw it last year, they had nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
Mike Glennon can attest to that.
Yeah. If they had anybody, Mike Glennon would have been in the Pro Bowl last year, but they had nobody. What would Mike Glennon do with this group? Mike Glennon would be in the Hall of Fame with this group of wide receivers.
Now you're just being ridiculous. Anyway, Mr. Ridiculous, that was a great route by Kevin White. And to be fair, Orlando Scandrick did get signed by the Chiefs just less than a week ago, I believe, like 6 days ago. So he's not in football shape, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. And he was quick to criticize himself and not praise Kevin White after the game. But you know what? He's been around a long time. That's not his first double move he's seen. And Kevin White took it to him. Kevin White then raced past him, and he did a little showboating there at the end, and fans should feel happy for him. Look, Kevin White is not your first, second, or third option, fourth option, even if you count Trey Burton in this offense. But to have him be your one of your primary backups, to have Javon Wims kind of waiting in the wings as well, it's better. It's better than trotting out Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson again. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Glennon. Remember that? Remember that, Matt Barkley? Remember those games of seeing Matt Barkley throw to Deontay Thompson and Josh Bellamy? Those days are long gone. The Bears have depth at the skills positions for the first time in a long time. They got five competent tight ends, in my opinion. One maybe pretty good one, and Adam Shaheen, if he gets healthy with his foot and ankle injury. Some good pieces to have in Nagy's offense. And White and Javon Wims can be death pieces in that should an Allen Robinson, should a Taylor Gabriel go down.
You tweeted during the game whether Kevin White or Javon Wims is more likely to make the team or something like that. I'd say both. At this point, if one of them doesn't, I think it's because Kevin White gets traded, which I'm not saying is going to happen. I think that's actually a long shot. But I do wonder with him him playing so much is one good thing the Bears did today. He didn't get the sit-down treatment, okay, because he's not really a starter. We've been saying that. I don't care what the depth chart says, and actually the depth chart doesn't even list him as a starter. But he still needs to prove himself, and that's what he's doing here. But it also puts a lot of tape. If he can look good, and the Bears all of a sudden are like, man, we really got to keep six wide receivers, which may end up happening. And I think it is possible to keep six wide receivers, especially in this offense. They're going to use all of them, okay? So let's not worry about that too much. But if for some reason one of those guys didn't make it, it would be because Kevin White would get traded, which I guess you can't rule out. I also don't really know what you get for him. Point being, I think Javon Wims wins the day in terms of that guy probably solidified his spot on the team, not only because of how well he's playing, but also that's on tape. I don't see any way you could sneak him to your practice squad if you cut him.
Now we've said that before about other players, but Wims seems to be a bit different. He's bigger. He's faster than I think he's been timed in the past. He plays faster. Seems to be one of those players who just perform in games and, you know, don't practice or don't time or don't test well for whatever reason. And there's kind of some untapped potential there. This is a guy who did not have any offers coming out of high school, was a basketball player, was Georgia's leading receiver last year on a national championship team. So there's a little swagger, a little edge to him, a little chip on his shoulder to prove himself. He feels overlooked, and you're seeing his play prove at least that he's becoming a competent, I don't want to say reliable, but the confidence is there. It's a young receiver who is gaining, and gaining more experience and becoming more confident with that. I think the question in terms of the receiver position is whether or not you keep six. Do you need a Josh Bellamy when you already have Benny Cunningham, Sherrick McManus, you already have a Deion Bush or DeAndre Houston Carson, guys who could be some of your core special teamers. I mean, even like a guy like DeAndre Hall, you know, I know he's suspended for week one, but you could cut him and bring him back. He's a guy who's flashed to me with some tenacity on special teams, with some speed. He's a fast guy. He's got some size to him, too. Do you really need to have six receivers, the six being Josh Bellamy?
Yeah, I would say that, look, we fall into this trap every year a little bit in that, you know, worrying about who's the 53rd guy on the roster, and then by week three, it's changed three times already. So, to me, it's if you have a player, no matter what the position is, where he looks like Javon Wims does right now, that he should be a part of your future beyond, you know, he might even be inactive week one for all we know, but on the team, you know, he needs to be on the roster going forward because he looks like he has potential. You keep that guy. You worry about the Deion Bushes and DeAndre Halls later. I mean, if those guys were so good, they would not be in the position they are right now in their third years. You know what I mean? Like you lose DeAndre Hall or Deion Bush, you can find another one of them. I'll due respect to those guys, or DeAndre Houston Carson, who has a broken arm right now. I mean, they're fine. They help you. I think Josh Bellamy has proven a little bit more on special teams, but you know what? I'll put him in that too. You know, Josh Bellamy, they like him on special teams. You lose him because you cut him, you're going to survive.
If Josh Bellamy was an absolute keeper, he would have gotten more than the low round restricted free agency tender, the 1 year deal in the offseason. Core special teamers, they come and go. Sherrick McManus is, I think, talking about a guy who's proved his worth on special teams. The guy got a 2 year contract, and he's continued to be here. He's been here since Mark Trestman. He's been here since Lovie Smith. So he's a guy who has continued to show his value on special teams. Heck, Vic Fangio used him as a blitzer last year. So obviously he's held in high regard on this team beyond special teams in respect to.
All right, last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here. We cannot ignore the quarterback play today. Chase Daniel was very, very good, and a lot of it came against the Chiefs' number one defense. That cannot be ignored. You know, there was a lot of overreaction in the Hall of Fame game because he didn't look that great. Like, oh, the Bears, if Mitch Trubisky goes down, they're screwed. If Mitch Trubisky goes down, this team's in a lot of trouble. Let's not say anything other than that. But that goes for any team. You lose your starter. And the Eagles were the one team that bucked that trend last year. But that is totally against the norm to have somebody come in like Nick Foles and be able to lead you all the way to the Super Bowl. If you lose your starter for the season, 99 times out of 100, you're screwed. If you lose a starter, though, for a week or two, you need to have somebody that can come in and at least give you a chance to win. Okay, it's like a baseball starter that you're saying throw a complete game, not a complete game, but a quality start. Just get us through six without giving up more than three runs. That's what you're asking your backup to do. I feel a lot better about Chase Daniel after watching today than to be able to do that. If for some reason Mitch suffers a concussion or twists his ankle or something like Jay Cutler used to always do and miss a couple starts here and there, Chase Daniel can come in and do maybe what Josh McCown, maybe not what McCown did that one year, but you know, enough to give you a chance to win football games with his defense and some of the talent, especially because he knows this system, and you saw that today.
Well, he's like Josh McCown in one respect. He's a great person to have around your quarterbacks. I mean, him and Mitch Trubisky have hit it off. I know Chase Daniels is kind of couching their relationship right now. You know, we're still growing. We're still getting to learn each other. But you could tell the guy's a personable guy. He's very likable. He's very approachable, even from our end. He was joking around with us today in terms of the hit he took. You know, he got rocked. He said it. I forget who hit him, but it was a big hit. And he played a great game. I mean, he is kind of everything you want in a backup quarterback, in a sense that, one, he's not going to ruffle any feathers. Two, he's great for your starting quarterback, especially a young one. And three, he can be a competent performer if need be in a tight situation.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. How about this? Leaving Soldier Field with good vibes in a game that the starters didn't even play.
Do you remember a few years ago when the Bears went into the... Went into Seattle, and Mark Trestman's Bears, with high expectations, got walloped by Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks. Big difference, I think, today, and the Bears didn't even do it with their starters.
You know, last year in Tennessee, you and I sat here doing this podcast, and we were like, I don't know if the Titans are going to be very good. The Chiefs looked awful today. I don't know what to make of that. I have a little bit more faith in them being good because they made the playoffs last year, but that's not good to have your starters beat like that by a 5-11 team coming off a 5-11 record with a bunch of backups out there.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes has a cannon on his arm. I mean, absolute lasers out there, and that's encouraging. I remarked that a few times. I said that a few times during the game. But you know what? He was throwing the wide open guys that should have been wide open because the Bears' backups were out there. But you know what? By the end of the day, he only had 10 points, 10 or 13 points, I forget. It was not an over-exhilarating performance that he should have had against the Bears' backups. I mean, the only possible starter that he saw was Nick Kwiatkowski. Nick Kwiatkowski, the middle linebacker. And he may not even start week one because you have Roquan Smith back. So I get that his numbers, his stat sheet reads pretty well, but you know what? At the end of the day, he did not score a lot of points against the Bears' backups. Some of those guys are getting cut. They're not even backups. They're not even close to being on the 53-man roster, and Patrick Mahomes cannot put up a lot of points against them.
All right, well, good for the Bears for doing what they did today, I guess. It's whatever it means, and it probably doesn't mean much. I think more importantly, you're looking at a pretty healthy team. Pretty healthy, not totally healthy, but no one goes into week one totally healthy. If you get out of the preseason with Roquan Smith dealing with a little hamstring tightness, Leonard Floyd has a club on his hand, and Adam Shaheen, there's still some question marks there, but that's it. That's a lot better than we've seen the last few years, guys. It's a lot better. And meanwhile, they look deeper, and they're doing some things on the field. So, I mean, none of this means anything until we see it in a real game, week one. But Matt Nagy said, how many times has he said we've had a great training camp? He said, great, 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 great training camp. They feel pretty good about what's transpired over the last 38 days since they reported to Bourbonnais.
I get that there are still some... You can have some criticism against this. We've heard Mark Trestman call things great before, but people forget that Matt Nagy was very critical of some of his practices in the past, calling them sloppy, said he wanted better energy at the practice they had, you know, in Bourbonnais, where they had the fireworks show afterwards. Matt Nagy didn't like that practice, so he's been critical of their performances. But in general, you see some things coming together. And look, we should have probably ended this note. We get why the Bears are being criticized for not playing their starters. They've proven nothing. First year head coach, a young quarterback, a lot of new pieces, new offense, all of this stuff. I get it. But you know what? Get to the regular season healthy. That's the most important thing in the preseason.
Yeah, and I referenced that in my column, too. I mean, it's not like the Bears are earning the benefit of the doubt on this stuff. I understand why the first reaction is to criticize them for doing something different. But you guys have also been screaming for something different with the injuries over the past few years. So it's here. And they did it, and they're going to be pretty healthy going into Green Bay, which is way more important than 25 practice reps. Practice? I guess we're talking about preseason game. Whatever. It's still practice. All right, let's get out of here. Read us. WGNradio.com/Bears. That's where my column is. Adam Johns up at ChicagoSunTimes.com. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Don't forget, still time to call our voicemail line, 312-222-5050, 312-222-5050. You call that number, you don't have to talk to anybody. You hear Joey Jojo's voice for a couple seconds, and then you can just leave a voicemail and say whatever you want. You can disagree with us. You can agree with us. You can say Matt Nagy's going to the Hall of Fame, whatever you want to say. What about Mike Glennon? Is he going to the Hall of Fame with Cam Meredith as his wide receiver? You can let us know. All right, that's going to do it for us. Episode 169. I thought it was a pretty nice episode. Adam Johns, I don't know how he feels. We're out of here. We'll talk to you this week. We'll get you your voicemails. And, man, the preseason's almost over. Talk to you later this week.
See ya.